Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the old trees and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest and I felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This feels normal.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. This just feels right. We've been opening the mailbag all week. Normally, we just reserve that for Friday, but this week we decided let's just open her up every single day. And this is the first day where it feels right because we are just creatures of habit, aren't we? This is why you sit in that same place every Sunday morning at your church. Admit it, you do it. And when somebody sits in your pew or padded chair, whatever you have there, wow. I've heard several people say this. They were visiting a church. They just went in and sat down. And then before the service started, the person who usually sits there arrives and just stands and glares.
I guess these are your seats. We'll just leave right now.
We are creatures of habit, and our habit is now regular. It's Friday, and we hope that you will send stuff. Anything wretched to idea@wretched.org, or you can text whatever you want. I mean, as long as your thumbs have the strength to 877-282-2337.
Speaking of church, this is from Mary. Todd, I hear people saying at church how important it is to be authentic. And I just can't help but think that's narcissistic. I especially thought so when after they receive correction of any kind, major or minor, they are deeply offended, respond with slander against the person correcting them, and completely do a 180 in their character. And now they say they're praying for unity, as if anyone was questioning them causes disunity.
So let's just focus on the one aspect of a rather complex email, and that would be the authentic movement. We're just going to be authentic Christians. Well, the reality is we should. That tends to be the problem with trends. There's a little bit of truth inside of them. We should be transparent appropriately with others that are believers because we're to carry one another's burdens. We're to walk with one another. We're to be paracletes for one another. So there should be that level of authenticity. The problem is it's kind of become a movement. And anytime I think a good thing becomes a movement, it tends to turn it into a bad thing. And in this instance, I think a phony thing. Okay, Jimmy. Henceforth, you are going to be authentic.
Oh,
because we're going to be authentic broadcasters. So be authentic.
As opposed to what?
Hey,
what was that?
Was that authentic? Was that genuine? Are you sharing the truth? Okay, it just becomes forced. So I see the truth in it. I reject the organization of it, but I would instead suggest it should simply be something that is a byproduct. Authenticity will come based on what is coming out of that pulpit, based on what is happening in Sunday schools, what people are consuming at church. All of these things that we desire the church to be will become if the preaching of the word cultivates it. If you don't have that coming out of the pulpit, you can create all the programs in the world, and then you're going to, not only are you going to have to run a program, you are going to have to harp, hey, everybody here volunteers, and we don't have enough volunteers in the kids' class ministry. So you need to start volunteering now. You're going to be a sheep herder for your organized, authentic movement. It should just happen. Now, having said that, I do understand organization is needed and it can be good. I'm talking about turning it into a program. When a fruit of the Spirit becomes programmatic, I think it has gone rotten. It needs to just happen. I was overhearing a conversation. That means I was eavesdropping where I had no business was listening to a conversation. Libby, one of our Fortis fellows, she had just finished up a women's retreat that we did at Alpharetta Bible Church. The ladies went up to the mountain. So a couple dozen women went up to talk about discipleship and the necessity of having a discipleship relation on both ends. Another, you should have somebody discipling you, and you should be discipling somebody who's less mature, less old in the faith than you are. And that's what the weekend was about. Yeah, I know. It wasn't about your authentic feelings. It was about how to disciple one another. And I heard Libby say, she was sharing the deets with Mrs. Friel, that at the end of the conference, they said, just so you know, we're not going to turn discipleship into a program at Alpharetta Bible Church. We're just going to do it. Just we do it because that's what Christians do. We just see the need and we fill it. We hear the command and we obey it. And in order to, we should be discipling one another. And it should just happen. Now, I get it. You want to get it organized, make sure that somebody is assigned to. I get that totally. So I'm not poo-pooing all programs, but I am poo-pooing the ones that become programmatic. Church should be organic, especially in its authenticity. That's kind of ironic. All right, everybody, you're all going to act authentic. Wait a second. I don't think you can act authentic. I think you are authentic, or you isn't. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. It was a text. Todd, I'm a guy on staff at a college Bible study with my wife on campus. Every year I'm asked if I want to preach, and I've always said no each time. I don't believe I have the gift of preaching, so I don't think it's necessary. I did preach about 8 years ago, but I haven't since, and I'm wondering if I should reconsider this.
Preach where?
It's a college Bible college.
Okay. Could you preach? Well, sure. But I think you're on the right path of asking the question, is that something you're gifted at? You don't want to be engaging in something that you just aren't very good at. And I don't think that's just pulpit ministry. I think that's any sort of ministry in the church. And by the way, this should be slightly liberating perhaps for you if you're feeling pressure to be a part of a ministry / program that you just don't dig. Look, sometimes you just do stuff because it has to get done. But I don't think that you have to force yourself to be engaged in a particular ministry. If that isn't your gifting, figure out your gifting and then go for that and really excel in that. Furthermore, you'll enjoy it more. Again, you'll have to do some things in church you'd rather not, but we just have to get them done. But seek out the ministry where you can really excel and bless people because you're gifted at it. And it's something that the Lord has allowed you to excel at, as opposed to smashing yourself in. And when I think ultimately of preaching, that's not your gifting, and perhaps you're not qualified, I would actually say absolutely do not. There is a massive responsibility in preaching. This is why pastors, not in whole but in part, are going to be judged more strictly. You are proclaiming the word of God. You're standing up and saying, thus saith the Lord. Because preaching, it should contain elements of teaching. It should have exhortation. It should be a calling up and a calling out. Those are serious responsibilities. And if you're not qualified to do that, or if you don't have the gifting to do that, run from that responsibility and say, I'm sorry, there is no way that I am going to get up when I am not qualified for that task. I will simply have to leave that to others. I think that's not only wise, I think that's safer. Jimmy, would you tell the guy to preach?
No, I would agree. If you're not gifted in that area and you realize you're not gifted in that area, then keep doing what you've been doing, which is not...
And teaching too, for that matter. Now, maybe you say, well, what about at home with the kids? You're charged to do that, so yeah. You got to do that. You teach your kids. Get better at it. Do they get bored? Do their faces end up in a plate of spaghetti because they're just... Get better at it. But you are charged to do that. You're not charged to do every ministry in the church. And standing up in front of a body of believers and proclaiming, thus saith the Lord, that is... Woofta. That's right. Hoofta.
You know, this guy recognizing that he's not gifted to preach, you know what that is? That's him being authentic.
Oh, you brought it around full circle. He's being... Okay, Jimmy, be transparent. Share something you've never shared. Be it. Do it.
Share something I've never...
Be transparent. We're going to be a transparent church.
Okay.
It's just our pendant. We see a need and then we turn it into this thing. And I get it. And it can be such a long sled that a church starts to just kind of organically do stuff. Somebody sees a need and they go, that's mine. I'll take care of that. That dear pastor, have programs as needed, but be careful that you are using programs for the vitality of the church. The programs should simply be used to organize the vitality. I think that's pretty good right there.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm not sure it's a tweet, but that's pretty good right there. Preach, 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 preach on the one another's. Preach on the wondrous love of Jesus, and you will see your church needing fewer and fewer programmatic, authentic encouragements. This is Wretched Radio.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Kreutz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Revelation. How can anyone know God unless he reveals himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed himself in creation, in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. We can know God, and we can be brought into right standing with him.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Sing a hymn, Todd. Sing a hymn. This is Wretched Radio. You ever get a song stuck in your head? I don't even want to tell you what's stuck in my head. I don't know why it's there. I'm sure the lyrics aren't good. Okay, fine. It's Jody Watley. I'm looking for a new love baby. It's just rolling through my head. And simultaneously, I'm hearing Mrs. Friel say, sing a hymn. Whenever you get one of those earworms, sing a hymn. That will drive it away. So, Jimmy, would you make an announcement about something?
I'll make an announcement about something, yeah. Okay. FortisPlus.org. It's full of hundreds of hours of audio and video.
Forget it. You couldn't come up with an announcement so I could start singing a hymn.
Sorry, you put me on the spot. Nothing. I'm organizing your questions here.
Nothing. How's about, for instance, you can get the Fortis app on your TV thing. Hold on, where's the details on this? Yeah, Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, Google Play, Samsung, LG, and Vizio. You can download the app. It is absolutely free. Hundreds of hours of free content, Bible studies, the whole shebang, courtesy of our gospel partners. Was it that hard?
No.
Was it that hard?
Not with something.
I know
in
that
front
My
of
Redeemer
up.
Lives is the one that came to mind. You know what? There are at least 8 verses, maybe 10 verses to that hymn. And the one that puts a lump in my throat every single time, and not every version has it the same way. He lives my Jesus, still the same personal pronoun. Wow. How kind is God to us? Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org. If you'd like to text 877-282-2337.
This is from James. Todd, would churches selling merchandise with the church logo be equivalent to the reason Jesus flipped the tables in the temple?
Might be. Might be. I don't think it's necessarily a sin. In fact, you should know that maybe Deuteronomy, it's Deuteronomy or Leviticus. Pretty sure it's in the Old Testament. If you haven't unhitched that just yet, that talks about the necessity of having those things available by the temple so that people who are traveling a long distance and can't bring the animal with them can procure them there. So it's not wrong necessarily to sell stuff in the temple courtyard. The problem that Jesus had was it was becoming so corrupt. And people were selling it at ridiculous rates for the sake of profit. It was like their job. It was like becoming a vendor at the Minnesota State Fair. Let me explain that. The story goes in Minnesota, this is kind of one of those urban legends, probably true, that if you've got a decent deep fried product, which frankly, everything is decent if you deep fry it, but if you got a deep fried product and you get yourself a booth at the Minnesota State Fair, I think it lasts 12 days, the fair. You can make enough money for the year. It's just that profitable. That's what the temple had become, the Minnesota State Fair. Just selling it to make a living, taking advantage of people. Furthermore, it had also, I think, just become corrupt on the part of the purchaser. I'm here to do my religious duty. I pay for my atonement. It had become a heartless transaction. And that's what Jesus despised. So that, I think, needs to be the understanding of selling things in church. I think it's fair to take the temple and say, okay, let's think church context. Can you sell anything at the church? Of course you can. I mean, it's not forbidden. The question is, what are you selling and why are you selling it? And what is it doing for the people who purchase it? And if you're selling books, for instance, that'll edify people and grow people, and could it even potentially help with the operation of the church? Sure, got to be careful with that you're not doing it for the sake of greed. But I think that that's all very valid biblical transactions that can take place in the church. But got to take a look at merch, the t-shirts. Okay, why are you selling those? And if there is a genuine answer that says, well, if people wear this shirt, people are going to learn about our church. That's not a bad thing. Now, if it's kind of, we're cool because we got a new graphic designer and we got a logo and we got these t-shirts and they're 100% cotton and it's got the collar that everybody thinks is cool these days. And yeah, the profit margins aren't bad either. Then don't do it. Then I think your tables need to be tipped. It's a heart issue. And if your heart is currently full, then I'd like you to express that heart by sending wretched things to idea@wretched.org.
Okay, I don't know how to follow that. This is from Evan.
Maybe talking like this would have been smoother.
This is from Evan.
Don't do it. Don't.
From Evan. Todd, my wife and I have decided to homeschool our three boys, ages 10, 7, and 3. I'm curious, do you have any curriculum recommendations?
You don't want all my curriculum recommendations because there's too many of them. That is one of the beauties of homeschooling. This is not a nascent movement. This is not like, okay, well, we've cobbled together. I guess we could teach this next week. That should get us through. Are you kidding? It is so sophisticated. There are many good organizations that produce a lot of homeschool curriculum. So my preference, if you were going to say what homeschool curriculum should you get, I would say eclectic. And get the eclectic model, meaning knowing your kids as opposed to the government system. You're all getting this. You know your kids. You know where they excel. You know where they struggle. Go to a homeschool convention and study the curriculum that are offered there and see what level they're written at. Now, it's been a bit since we've homeschooled our kids, but as I recall, I believe it's Apologia. I think that was more of the academic sort of homeschool curriculum. And now, not as academic, not academic less, but I want to say the Sunshine curriculum. So maybe your kid just PUs at math. Why are you going to give them a heavy, hard curriculum where they just struggle and flounder? So you go to the Sunshine Math, you get that. But hey, they're really, really good at geography. Then go get the top, put it together, make it eclectic. And don't forget too, there are the big organizations, the big houses like Apology and Sunshine. They crank out a lot of good stuff. But don't forget about some of the smaller folks. And you can use their curriculum too, as long as you can get credit for it. I mean, guess in your state, depending on how they run the homeschool deal. But there's plenty of options. And that's why I can't share with you an option because first of all, I don't know your kids. Second of all, there's too many of them. That is why my encouragement is go to a homeschool convention. You're going to get immersed in this. You're going to be overwhelmed. Seriously, you're going to just walk around going, honey, can we just go like get a hot dog and take a break here? Because it's like so much stuff going on. Just hang in there. Keep going from booth to booth to booth and you'll start to get clarity. And then you go back to your hotel room and you go, hey, was looking at this. What do you think about this? And you put the whole thing together on your hotel room bed. Then you create the curriculum that's custom designed just for each kid. And I think the most efficient way to do that is by attending a homeschool convention. I'm a huge fan of Teach Them Diligently. I've spoken there. I think it's maybe been a couple of years since we went to Pigeon Forge, if I'm not mistaken, to speak at the Teach Them Diligently conference. I know they've got two or three of them. They're excellent and their heart is right. I'm not saying that the other homeschool conferences don't have it right. I'm just telling you, I know Teach Them Diligently does. They want to make sure that you're not just becoming the school teacher, that you're still mom. They want to make sure you end up, yeah, being somewhat rigid with the rules, but maintaining a relationship, not just downloading theology, but encouraging a relationship with their Savior. I think Teach Them Diligently, they're just on point in that regard. So find one, visit one, and then create an eclectic homeschool curriculum. idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is from Kenyon. Todd, how can I see the Holy Spirit working more in my life? It seems like I don't love God like I should.
Well, that is correct. I don't know you, but you don't. Neither do I. And yet he loves us. How shocking. I mean, just how shocking. I mean, do you hold on to many relationships, especially in our current culture of cancellation and boundary drawing and putting up fences that we need to keep anybody out of our life who doesn't contribute magnificently to King Me? That's not the way Jesus acts. X, King Jesus, he loves us, even when we are not loving him the way that we should. We can never love him to that degree. And so you rest in that, and that will increase your love for him. How can you see more fruit? Well, that would be one way. Concentrate on the love of God in Christ Jesus. That will change you. It will affect you. It will grow you. That is the only way that you can love others, let alone love your enemy, is to know the love of God in Christ Jesus, to know that love. In other words, to use a term of the Puritans, to experience that love. Oh, Jimmy, I think I forgot that earlier this week. Sometimes people read the Puritans because they just want that, yeah, theology. They want their head filled with that articulation of high-minded theology. It's not all the Puritans did. They also were experiential in their faith, relational with their God. Grow in that, and you'll just start to see more and more fruit. And if you're really feeling like there's a total drought, ask some friends to either help you or to identify the fruit that you are overlooking. Grow in your love for God, and you will grow in fruit production. This is Wretched Radio.